Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have being.
Scripture is taken from Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. Now Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro, the priest of Midian. And he led his flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire, out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and lo, the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. And Moses said, I will turn aside and see this great sight, why this bush is not burnt. When the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. Then he said, Do not come near. Put off your shoes from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. And he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord said, I have seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And now behold, the cry of the people of Israel has come to me, and I have seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppress them. Come, I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring forth my people, the sons of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the sons of Israel out of Egypt? He said, But I will be with you. And this shall be the sign for you, that I have sent you. When you have brought forth the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God upon this mountain.
I have sat in this chapel through many services. I've heard some fine speeches. I've heard sermons that have stirred my soul. I've heard lectures that have enlightened my mind and broadened my mental horizons. And I can assure you, I think I know how Isaiah felt when he said, Woe is me. if you will, direct your attention for the next few moments back to Moses in the scripture Jill just read. While tending his father-in-law's flock and guiding them to a spot where they can graze, Moses can, at least for a short time, retreat unto himself. Now the sun is probably directly overhead, and its rays shooting to the earth heat the already toasted ground. The sky is clear. It is quiet. Moses finds a place to rest, perhaps on a rock or near a bush. He finds a convenient spot where he can command a view of all the sheep, all the flock that have by now scattered in search of food. Moses has time to think as he maintains his careful watch over the flock. There is little else to do now. First, he stares into space, looks up at the cloud formations, perhaps bends down, picks up a small stone, throws it and waits as it strikes some distant target. For a brief moment, the desert's deafening silence is broken. For a moment, there is movement, sound. Watching the sheep has become mechanical. Moses turns his thoughts to the future, or perhaps he recalls the past, his life, his education, the environment he knew in Pharaoh's palace. He thinks of God, man, and nature, oftentimes the preoccupation of most Orientals. Each day of tending Jethro's flock promises long hours. Perhaps totally unaware of the purpose of the ordeal he experiences each day, long hours, the hot sun, the solitude, he's being tested. He's being shaped and molded. He is being conditioned, both physically and mentally, for the commission he is about to receive. Apparently, without warning, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and lo, the bush was burning. Yet it was not consumed. And Moses said, I will turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. God called a shepherd of sheep. God called Moses, and Moses responded, here am I. God tests men in various ways, very carefully. First in small things. God tested Moses as a shepherd of sheep and found him capable, serious, conscientious, and saw that he respected and protected that which did not belong to him. I think God's decision to use Moses as a shepherd of men had a great deal to do with his past and current employment record. If a man fails to be conscientious and has no respect for other people's property, how can we expect God to trust such a man with his people? Much later, God chose another shepherd to be the prophet of justice. Amos came in from the wilderness to prophesy in the name of the Lord. And David, perhaps Israel's greatest king, was first a shepherd. God spoke to Moses saying, I have seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey. God heard the cry of his people. He saw the oppression. He felt their sufferings. With that, God called a shepherd of sheep to be the shepherd of the suffering. Moses is well prepared for this great task. He can prove he can endure the wilderness, the heat of the sun, the coolness of the night, sleeping under the stars. The endurance of the wilderness is no longer an endurance. It is now a path to a good and broad land, a path to the promised land, a land flowing with milk and honey. Moses committed himself by acknowledging the presence of God by saying three little yet meaningful words, "Here am I." Then God said to Moses, "Come, I will send you to Pharaoh that you may bring forth my people, the sons of Israel, out of Egypt." Note the phrasing, "I will send you," not "I would like to send you." Now we have seen that the shepherd of sheep became the shepherd of the suffering. And now what appears to me to be quite logical, the shepherd called into service. "Come, I will send you." Things are beginning to happen, perhaps too fast for Moses. He's not sure he wants to go back to Egypt. He has a fairly good job, and there may be room for advancement and promotion. He has every good reason to remain in his present situation. He was recently married and now has a young son. Moses seemed quite content, and current conditions were no doubt rewarding and fulfilling in every respect. He begins to question God about this seemingly hurried decision on God's part, and Moses says, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the sons of Israel out of Egypt?" Gerald Savory, in his book titled Tuned In Christians, imagines the conversation that may have gone on between God and Moses. Moses says, "But now, God, you know I've never led a freedom march. I just don't go in for this kind of thing." And God replies quickly, "Moses, my people are in slavery. Now go and trust me. Face the Pharaoh and lead my people home." Well, you know the story from there. Moses continued his debate with God. Eventually, he did go into Egypt, and God was with him. And with divine guidance, he did lead God's people home. God's people suffered again. Again, God saw our afflictions. He heard our cry. He has felt our pain, our suffering. God looked upon us with compassion, and he himself came and suffered for us. One and all, once and for all, on a cross. A man of Galilee suffered and died for each of us, and now God calls each of us to be a Moses. God has called us, and we have replied, "Here am I. Now go and lead his people home." Let us pray. Our Father God, our true and highest life, by whom, through whom, and in whom all things live, which live truly and blessedly, we humbly pray thee so to guide and govern us by thy Holy Spirit, that in all the cares of our daily life, we may never forget thee, but remember that we are ever walking in thy sight, Help us, O God, to better equip ourselves for tasks not suited to our strength, rather strength better suited for our task. Through Jesus our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen.